These bones will live, I tell you. Easter won't be coming, won't be long in coming now. But to get there, we must pass through the dark valley of the shadow of death. It's a hard road, this Lenten journey, that takes us to betrayal and violence and untimely death and stomach-turning grief. Our flesh will ache with parched fear. Our bones will bend under the racked weight. In time, our bereaved hearts will break and then heal in Lazarine hope that resurrection can be known, that Jesus can be believed, that God is the agent of miraculous power that comes in the present moment. Some may choose to elide their Lenten journey from here, foregoing Holy Week altogether, skipping straight to Easter and its bright pastels of joy and delight. But make no mistake, true Easter colors come fully to life only when the palette is mixed with the tears of grief and loss. This is the paradox of the Paschal mystery. To get there, we must pass through the graveyard, disorienting as it is. But Jesus shows us the way as he returns to Bethany and his beloved friend. He invites us to persist on the journey with him. We are close now, he says, so come with me. Until 50 years ago, this fifth Sunday in Lent was known as Passion Sunday, the launch into a full fortnight trudge through the Passion of Christ. For reasons not entirely clear to me, but seemingly having to do with the church's complicity with Nazi Germany, that's a whole nother sermon unto itself. But 50 years ago, the Western church collapsed this Passion Sunday into Palm Sunday, which next week will strive once more to hold it all. The triumphal entry, the agonizing conspiracy, the passion of Christ on the cross, the hewn tomb of grief where hope is buried. Few liturgies have as much as Palm Sunday packed in. Few liturgies have us move about as much as Palm Sunday, but we would do well to practice the movement here today, because this is what Jesus is inviting us when he says, come with me. It is no small thing that the word passion packs in a whole wide range of meaning. It intends the deep desire and the intimate knowing, but also the pain of suffering and grief that come when love is in the recipe. All of it together means and only really makes sense in the context of love, that passion is what we are invited into today. We can trace the path of passion from here, from today's story. Jesus begins in the wilderness, across the Jordan River, a day's walk from his friend's home, and he receives word that Lazarus is ill, but he is oddly unrushed to return to him. He stays there two more days. And then a day's walk in the direction, not just of Lazarus and Bethany, but in the direction of Jerusalem and his own death. Bethany lies just 2 miles east of the big city. And in between them, the Mount of Olives, the Garden of Gethsemane, Golgotha. They lie on the path between Bethany and Jerusalem. And Jesus knows this only too well, but says, let us go anyway. In Jesus' day, it was believed that the soul of the dead person lingered by the body for 3 days before departing for good. 4 days dead is Lazarus. 4 days dead means really dead. A stench is all that's expected to arise from the tomb, from Lazarus' decaying sinews, not yet dried, but well on their way. And by tradition, the family huddles in the home. Visitors come to them. But Martha, in what I think is an incredibly courageous act, leaves the home of mourning to go see Jesus. And there they have a tender conversation where Jesus brings the hope of resurrection, yes, for Lazarus, and yes, for Martha, but you see also for you and for me, and brings it all into the present. Jesus does not say, I will be the resurrection and the life. He says, I am the resurrection and the life, right here, right now, for anyone willing to believe it to be true. Folks, it is not a safe story. But Martha takes it to her sister Mary and says, Jesus is calling for you. The words are intended to light on our ears and on our hearts as well. Mary shows us the way. She leaps from her chair. The people around her follow in amazement. They think she's running to the tomb, hysterical in grief. But no, she's running to see Jesus. And we can imagine her tears of grief and hope mingling on her wet face as she fell to her knees before him. Just days later, she would repeat that posture to anoint his feet with pure nard, to prepare him for his own burial, to wipe his feet with her hair. This is an intimate knowing between Jesus and Mary, to which we are privy. It is beautiful. Dare we say it is passionate. Jesus arrives at the tomb and weeps. Weeps for Lazarus, maybe weeps for himself, maybe weeps for all of us bound by this mortal reality of grief and loss and death. The passion begins here with a glimpse into Easter joy. We need not lose sight of that, ever lose sight of that, if we are to find our way. But soon enough, Jesus will make his way to the Mount of Olives, with palms of glory and laud and honor laid before him, before his feet. Just 2 weeks ago, 30 of us went and followed in his footsteps there. We made the trek to the Mount of Olives with the dome of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre and the empty tomb on the horizon in the city. But it was across the Kidron Valley. And to get there, we had to descend the steep descent through thousands upon thousands of graveyards, holding literally 3 millennia worth of bodily remains. And Gethsemane, the Garden of Gethsemane, lies at the foot of that mountain. And we lingered there as the late afternoon sun cast its shadows into the valley, this valley of the shadow of death through which we all must pass. Jesus was there. Jesus is there and will always be there for anyone who believes. Jesus weeps for us, with us, while also setting his face toward Jerusalem and his own death. Let us also go, that we may die with him. But let us also sow our tears of grief and hope into the story that has a dead man walking today and has Jesus telling those who have gathered, unbind this dead man and let him go. These bones shall live, I tell you. There is hope even in the graveyard.